So let's dive in. Getting started right. You remember what we talked about getting started right? What are the things we do to get started right? Okay, use your membership as quickly as you can and as often as you can. Had a guy tell me once, he's like, man, I can't get anybody to buy the membership. I said, how many times have you used it? He said, I haven't. I said, come on, really? Y'all get that?
Yeah.
Can you imagine saying to somebody, hey, you've got to go see Hobbit. You got to go see it. You got to go see it. And they go, well, have you seen it? Oh, no, I haven't seen it. Wouldn't that be ridiculous? That's what most people do when they get started. We have no excuse to not use the membership day one. Day one. You go, well, I don't have a legal problem. Just call and say, hey, what's the difference between a trust and a will? Just call, just look, most, and I would even say in this room, most people in this room don't even know if the phone works. They don't even know if the phone rings. And I won't ask you to raise your hands. But getting started right is super simple. Use your membership as soon as you can. You want to do a game plan interview with your sponsor. So think about it like this. When you recruit your first person, you want to do a game plan interview with that person as quickly as you can. This is a good one for your notes. Most people have about a 72-hour shelf life. Do y'all know what that means? If we don't get them something going in 72 hours, most people aren't going to make it. They need some sort of success. And if nothing else, it's the game plan interview. It's a training. It's something. But we'd like to see them get a membership or recruit in the first 72 hours. But a game plan interview is simply this. It's when you get together with your new associate and you go through what's called the first step document. Okay, so it's a training document. And you can get it at LegalShield.com/start. Now, there's some trainings there, and those are great supplemental trainings. Here's what you don't want to do. You don't want to send somebody to the website to get them trained because you don't know if they went, and you don't know if they did the exercises, right? Make a list, all that stuff. You want to sit down with them as quickly as you can and go over that document. And the document's really simple. It's basically, who do you know? It's just contacts. Why are you here? We want to know why you're here. What really drives you? What's your motivation for making this investment? Who do you know? You know, we're going to make a list. Who's your top 10? We want to talk to them first. We're going to use tools and invite them to events. We're going to launch your business, and we're going to plug you into the systems, the infrastructure. That's really all you're doing. You're sitting down with your new person. You're like, hey, why are you in the business? And they're going to write it down, and you're going to talk about it. They say, well, who do you know? Let's help you at least make your top 10 list. And here's how I like to say it. If you're going to spend a week on a yacht, and you could take 10 adults with you, who would you take? Let's call them first. Let's get them an exposure first. Why not talk to your friends and family, the people that you want to spend the rest of your life with? Let's get that top 10, and then we're going to start sharing information with them. But that's it. The getting started right is just going through your training, your game plan interview, and go to your basic training, which we're going to talk about in a moment. Again, pretty simple stuff.
Yeah.
Can you all sit down with your new associate and read? Okay, can you help them fill in the blanks?
Yes.
Okay, can you tell them where the meetings are in your area?
Yes.
Can you tell them about your conference calls?
Yes.
Just fill, that's it. It's paint by numbers. It's so absolutely simple. But you know what people do? They sit down with them and they'll go for 3 hours. They just keep on going and they're adding stuff and they're making stuff up. It's not flowing through the filters. This is a part-time business. Stay connected. On Monday morning, we have a corporate network marketing training call every Monday at 10 Central. It's Dallas time, 10 Central. You want to make sure that you get on that call. Your team does a call. Went to our first convention. We've been in the business about 4 or 5 months. And we hear them talking about staying connected on your team conference call. And we're like looking at each other going, what is that? You know, what team conference call are they talking about? And so my brother Jeff and I were talking about it, and he goes, well, look, I don't know what they're talking about, but we need to start a team conference call. And I said, okay, because no one above us was doing a team conference call. All of your teams are now doing team conference calls, but back then our team wasn't. And so my brother, I said, how do we do it? We have, you know, our team's growing now. We have, who knows, you know, 150, 200 people, 300 people on our team. How do we get them all? And he goes, well, here's what we'll do. You call Mike, and I'll call Dave. And then have Mike call Dwayne. And have Dwayne call Brian. This is how we did our first conference call. We didn't know that that you could have a bridge. We didn't know that you could, you know, have a phone number and just tell everybody call into that phone number. It's a party line. We didn't know about that. All we knew was we're supposed to have a weekly conference call. We're supposed to get on every week. And since we didn't have one, we started one. And so it sounded like this. It's Jeff. Hey, everybody, it's Jeff. All right, nobody's here yet. Oh, they're probably calling their team. Hey, it's Chris. Is anybody on the line? Hey, Chris, it's Jeff. How's it going, man? Good, Jeff. How's it going? Hey, man, I got Mike with me on the phone. Hey, Mike, how's it going? Good, Jeff. How you doing? Good. Okay, now, Chris, you call Jen. Mike, you call. And this went on for 15 or 20 minutes. And then when we got all the ones that we thought would be interested in the call, Jeff said, well, how's everybody doing? Good. Good. We're doing good, Jeff. Good. Everybody, great. All right. We had no agenda at all whatsoever. No call plan, no training. So, well, how's it going out there, everybody? Good. Good. Pretty good. And then you hear real faintly, I sold one. Wait, what? Yeah, I sold one. Who is that? Is Dwayne. You sold one? Yeah. How'd you do that? Everybody's like, way to go. We're all clapping because somebody got one. So Dwayne proceeds to tell us this story about how he got a membership. And when he got done, we're like, that is awesome. And Jeff's like, y'all, we can do this, right? Just tools and events, right? Let's just get more tools in the marketplace. Let's get some more people on the line. And so then we started asking people. We said, hey, how do you do your conference call? And they'd say, oh, I just have a phone number and everybody calls in. And we're like, where do you get one of those conference calls? And back then it was $75 a month to have a conference call line. So we coughed it up, man, $75 a month. You want to know why? Because we were core. That's why. Because even though we didn't have one, didn't matter. We're core, man. It's on the list. We're going to do it, right? They said, even before we got this list of 10 core commitments, we were at a convention and all the successful people said, you got to get on, you know, your team calls. So we got one, $75 a month, Eagle Telecom. Well, today, guess what? They're free. There's so many free teleconferences out there. Just Google free tele. Well, you don't even need to because your teams all have a conference call. So your job is simple. You just have to jump on. Blow anybody out of the water. Everybody okay?
Yeah.
All right. Stay connected through those calls.
In traditional business, a certain amount of money is set aside each month or each year for advertising. In our business, though, we don't do traditional advertising because it's expensive and it really doesn't work for our business. That said, we definitely need to be advertising our businesses. If you don't advertise your business, how is anybody going to know that you're even in business? So, yes, we need to advertise, but we don't do it in the traditional ways through TV, radio, print, and even online ads. The way we advertise our businesses is by sharing third-party tools with other people. Again, the definition of third-party tools is anything that's not you. It could be a CD, a DVD, a recorded call, what we call sizzle calls, or a website, or any other thing that's not you. There needs to be a systematic, affordable, and duplicatable way for everyone who joins your business to advertise their business. And that system is to do 2 exposures per day if you're part-time and 5 or more per day if you're full-time. In other words, share Legal Shield with 2 people a day using third-party tools. See, the people who build the biggest businesses, those who are enjoying the highest levels of time and financial freedom, understand that they're the messenger. They're not the message. Most people don't have time. They don't have the time or the skill set or the desire to make 2 appointments every day and then to go and do 2 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 minute presentations. We're busy. We have lives outside of Legal Shield, but all of us have time to hand out 2 CDs, right? Or hand out 2 DVDs every day, or to send a couple of people to your website, or put a couple of folks on a recorded call. We can all do that. We all have time to do that, and we'd all be willing to do that to our friends, family, neighbors, right? The tools give you leverage. That's what this is all about. Again, you might not have time to meet with anybody about Legal Shield, but if you're putting two tools out a day, over time, you have dozens of potential presentations that are happening out there in the marketplace, and that is a lot of leverage. Again, this is the genius of our system. We have lots of great tools in Legal Shield, and as long as you're using third-party tools, you're following the system, you're doing great. Now, that said, myself and many other of the top income earners in the business all agree that physical tools are superior to non-physical tools. In other words, handing someone a CD with the challenge to listen to it, you know, throw it in their car and listen to it on their way home from work or on their way to work, is more powerful than sending someone an email with a link to your website. Now, I suggest to all my associates to keep a stack of physical tools in their car or to grab a couple every day before they leave the house and make a goal to hand them out during the day. But whatever you do, just make sure that you do at least 2 third-party exposures every day. Newton's first law of motion states, in short, that a body in motion tends to stay in motion. And our goal with this core training is to get you into motion, because we know that if we can get you into motion, you'll have a tendency to stay in motion. And over the coming weeks and months, you'll learn lots of things about how to build your business. You'll learn the words to say and, you know, how to be more effective to get your tools out every day. But for now, we just want to get you in the habit of getting your daily exposures out. And by the way, you get to pick the number of days in your Legal Shield work week. You can work 5 days a week or 6 days a week. I personally work 6 days a week and I unplug on Sundays, but I know other top leaders who work 5 days a week and I know others who work 7, and you get to choose. Now, the best people to give tools to are the people that you know, people that know you, people that you love and who love you and that you care about and who care about you. We call these people warm market, your friends, family, neighbors, coworkers, etc. But you can also give tools and do exposures to people that you don't know and people that you meet on a day-to-day basis. And we call these people cold market. Working in the warm market is way easier, it's more fun, and it's more productive. But working in the cold market's a great way to supplement your warm market activities. But again, no matter if you're working in the warm market or the cold market or a combination of both, make sure that you do your 2 exposures each day. Make a commitment to do this. About 10 years ago, my good friend Mike, one of my associates, and I were in Ada, Oklahoma to attend a special training sponsored by our corporate office. And we were sharing a hotel room, and at about 11 o'clock at night when we were getting ready to go to bed, Mike realized that he'd only done 1 exposure for the day. And before I could even ask him what his plan was to get the other one out, he was already getting redressed. And I asked him, hey, what are you doing? And he said, I'm going to go to a gas station and give out a tool. Want to come with me? And I said, man, I wouldn't miss it for the world. I got to see this. And so we jumped in the car and drove up the street to the closest gas station. And we got out of the car. We walked into the store, and Mike walked right up to the attendant. He gave her the CD and he told her to listen to it so that she could learn how to make a little bit of extra money working from home. It wasn't glamorous. It wasn't fancy. In fact, it was a little bit awkward, and it wasn't very effective. But the point is that he got it done. He kept his commitment to continue to do 2 exposures per day. You know, even if you throw a CD or a DVD in your neighbor's front yard at midnight, you know, you're laying in bed at night and you think, oh, I didn't do my 2 exposures today. Get up, grab a CD, grab a couple of CDs or DVDs, and just throw them into your neighbor's front yard. Walk over, put it on the windshield wiper of their car, drop it on their front porch. You know, you'll find that these types of exposures, they may not be the most effective, and you'll certainly get better over time. But again, the important thing is to keep the commitment of doing those 2 exposures per day and get into motion. Some things to think about as you consider your commitment to do 2 exposures a day is this. If your team did what you did today, would you have made any money? The only way to get a team of people doing their 2 a day is if you do it first. You've got to lead by example. In life, you don't get what you want, you get what you are. And if you want a team of core associates, you've got to be core first. As Gandhi said, you've got to be that which you wish to see in the world. Next, learn to ask yourself this question. How many times was the Legal Shield story told today on my behalf? You might have only given out 2 CDs or done 2 exposures, but your team may have done 50 or 100 or more. And you get to count all of them because they're on your team. And I'm telling you, when you have 50 to 100 or more exposures going out every day on your team, you are well on your way to financial freedom. But again, it all starts with you doing your 2 every day.
Number 3 is do 2 exposures a day. If you're part-time, 5 if you're full-time. One of my leaders, executive director, called me up and said, man, it's not working for me. I said, what's not working for me? Or what's not working for you? He says, the business is just not growing as fast as I want it to. I said, man, you made $6,000 last month. He goes, yeah, I'll do between 6 and 7 this month. And you're complaining? Well, I'd really like to get my 6-figure ring, so I need to be over $8,000 a month. Okay, well, what are you doing? I'm following the system. I'm following the 10 core, okay? You doing your 2 exposures? Yeah, I'm doing my 2 exposures every day. Well, how many more than 2 are you doing? Well, what do you mean? Well, you're full-time, right? Yeah, I'm full-time. And you know, back in the day, you know what the 10 core said? It used to say, do 2 exposures a day. That was it. Now it says, do 2 exposures a day or 5 if you're full-time. You know why we added that? Because this guy thought he was only allowed to do 2. I'm like, Dave, you're kidding me, right? He's like, well, the system, you said follow the system. And the system says 2. Wow. I'm like, man, good for you. This guy was not going to deviate. So I want to make sure that you understand, you all understand, this is a minimum. Everybody got it? Yeah. Everything in the 10 core commitments is a minimum. See, we had a briefing in Fort Worth, but we also had one in Dallas. I had friends in Fort Worth. I also had friends in Dallas. Are you allowed to do 2? Yeah. See, because some of you want to rock this thing. Some of you want to hit this thing so hard, you want results yesterday. And so you might want to double up on some of this stuff. But we don't teach that stuff. You go do whatever you want to do. Like personal development, we're going to talk about that. It says 10 pages of a good book. I realized I was such a mess, 10 pages wasn't going to work for me. I needed 20, 30, or a book a day. I mean, I was coming from the bottom of the barrel, right? We'll talk more about it. But these are minimums, okay? So 2 a day if you're part-time, 5 a day if you're full-time. Let me give you a visual. Let's say I call you and I go, hey, would you like to go fishing with me today? What would y'all say? Sure. Some of you, hopefully you'd like to go, and I know you're not all going to want to go, but would you like to go fishing with me?
Sure.
Okay. So I'll pick you up. So I come over there tomorrow. I've got 2 rod and reels in the back of the car. I pick them up. We go up to a pond around the corner, and we get out, and I go, I said, let's throw it in a couple times, see what happens, right? 1 and 2. Would we catch a fish? Probably not. Now, let's scale back even, let's make it even worse. Let's just say I go by myself. Just imagine I get all dressed up. And I go out there and I go, 1, 2. All right, I'm done for the day. Did I catch a fish? Okay, probably not. But what if I did it the next day? What if I did it the next day? What if I did it the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day? What if I got crazy because I had a little extra time in my schedule and I did 3? Ooh, 1, 2, 3. Right? Is that allowed?
Yeah.
It's allowed, right? It's allowed. So would I eventually over time get a fish?
Yes.
Okay. Now that I've got a fish, I've got Ryan. Ryan, I'm going to take you fishing. We go out to the pond next day. 1, 2. We go in. We catch a fish? Probably not. But what if there's 10 of us? 1, 2. Then we go home. Some of my best memories are fishing my grandpa's pond. We'd go out there with all the cousins. We'd surround the pond. We'd have contests. Who can catch the first? Who can catch the smallest? Who can catch the biggest? And who can catch the most? And it was like this. We're ready, right? We're all around the pond. 1, 2, 3. And we throw out, and there were some of them, a bass hit the lure on the way down. Right? Y'all ever seen that happen? A bass hits the lure on the way down. Now, did we all get depressed or did we all get fired up? Even though we were having a competition and we just lost, we just got fired up. We got fired up because somebody caught a fish. You know, and of course we did it all day long and it was really, really fun. But with our, how many people do we know that have time to go fishing all day? All day, every day. People don't have time to do that. But could they do this once? Twice? Could people do that? And if you do that tomorrow and you hand out 2 audios or 2 DVDs, are you going to catch a fish? Probably not. But if you do it the next day, have your odds increased? And the next day, and the next day, and the next day? Have y'all ever seen a seining net? Anybody ever, you know what that is? It's a big net, big circular net with weights around the outside, right? And it's all bunched up, and you're on a boat. And you throw that net out, and you've got a string tied, you know, a rope tied to your arm, and it goes out and it lays flat on the water, and those weights close it in like this, and then you just begin to pull that seining net in, and when you get it, there are piles of fish in that net. If you've never, just Google it. There's videos on YouTube. It is the coolest thing, because you're on this boat and you can't see nothing. You look down, it's water. You don't even know if there's a fish in the pond, if there's a fish in the lake, if there's a fish in the ocean. You take a net large enough and you throw it out in that water, even though you can't see nothing below the surface. You pull it in and there are piles of fish in there. Our profession is called network marketing. You work the system and you'll begin to weave, to build this net. Right? Every day, that's what you're doing. You're growing the net, the network, the net. It's growing, it's growing, it's growing. And all anybody's doing is two casts a day. Nobody's breaking their back. Nobody's working 10, 12, 15 hours a day. We're just doing two a day. And the net grows and grows and grows. And when you throw that net out, you're going to bring them in. Are there small fish in there? Are there big fish? Yeah. And isn't that cool? Now, what if you're not even the one bringing them in? What if you're just up here? And somebody's bringing in all these fish. Would you be all right with that?
Yes.
You gonna quit?
No.
That's why we do two a day. You just do it two, you just get this discipline. So much of success is habitual. It's just making a decision to do something, and you do it day in and day out, even if it doesn't appear to be working. There's a bamboo plant in Asia that takes 5 years to break the surface. Think about that. If you're gonna grow one of those, you have to have a lot of faith, don't you? Because you water it every day, and you don't even know if it's alive or dead for 5 years. And I love that analogy because that's like our business. It doesn't matter. You just keep doing it. You do it and you do it and you do it because you're one recruit away from an explosion. You're one recruit away from an explosion. And I'm telling you, once you get your one, number two is easy. Because now you know that it works. Before you hoped that it worked, now you know it. You got your one, and if you can find one, you can find two. Right? If you can find two, you can find three. And now you're building your core associates. Okay, do two exposures a day. As a part of number three, which is two exposures a day, is a long distance package. Y'all remember that? Let me tell you about how we grew our business. In Texas back then, not today, it's a little different today, but back then in Texas, you had to have a license to market Legal Shield in the state of Texas. And you still do, but you still don't have the requirements that we had back then. Back in those days, just imagine this, $249 to start your business, $20, $30 for your membership. Then you had to pay a $50 licensing fee. You had to pay a $60 test. You had to go to a $20 class that taught you how to pass the test. You had to pay $15 to get your fingerprints made. The test is what we called the 60-60-60 test. It was a $60 test. It was 60 questions. It was timed 60 minutes, and it had a 60% first-time failure rate. Just let that settle for just a minute. Imagine building a business, a dynasty, in that environment. We are so lucky in most of all the other states because we don't have a license. And in the states that do have a license, you know what? I just say turn what might be perceived as a negative into a positive and just say, hey, you know what? We have a higher level of credibility. It's what we used to say in Texas. We have a higher level of credibility in Texas because it's regulated by the Texas Department of Insurance. So it's actually better. And our team was like, okay, nice stretch, but yeah. What's the point of that story? The point of that story is if I recruited you today, I knew you had to go through this whole process before you could ever make money. So you know what we did with our new people? We said, hey, who do you know in California? Who do you know in Colorado? Who do you know in Idaho? Who do you know in Utah? Who do you know in Nevada? Who do you know? And we started listing off all these states that didn't have licenses. And they go, I know Bob in California. Great, let's send a long distance package to Bob. Do you see how this works? Do y'all remember the story earlier how I talked about we got into all these states super fast? Was anybody listening to that? Yeah. Did anybody wonder how we got into all those states super fast? Now you know the answer. because we wanted to get out of our local marketplace. Of course, we recruited a bunch in our local marketplace, but when we got them as a part of the game plan interview, we said, who do you know in somewhere else? Here's what happened to me. I recruited a guy in Utah. Actually, I sent a package to a guy in Utah. He doesn't look at it. He throws it in the trash, and it made me mad, so I sent him another one. And it sits in his closet for a long time. Finally, gets it out, listens to it, wants to buy the membership. He buys the membership, gets his will done. He's so impressed with that, he becomes an associate. Okay? That one associate led me to about 15,000 people. How did I get him? Just one. Now, are the odds are, when you send a package, are they going to sign up? The odds are what? No. But might some of them? Yes or no?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. And so I just kept sending these long-distance packages, you know, and he kept sending them. And then he'd get somebody in Maryland who was sending long-distance. We're going all over the country. When I was running Southern California, just imagine this. I moved to Southern California not knowing a soul. I've been in the business about a year and a half. I moved to Southern California not knowing a soul. And in a matter of years, we have 500 people coming to our weekly events. And I didn't know a soul. And what we would do at our events is we would, at our training events, we had a USPS box up on the stage. And when we trained on the 10 core commitments, we had packages available. So when people registered, if they didn't bring their own long distance package to mail to somebody with postage and everything, we had them for sale out front. So we had an envelope with a stamp, with a DVD, with a sticky note that said, watch this, you know, or listen to this. It was already prepackaged. So we would sell them for $5 or $6 or whatever it was. Now they had the long distance package. Before training starts, they're going through their iPhone, you know, and they're finding an address. Oh yeah, you know, I haven't talked to John yet. And they're filling it all out. During the training portion, we'd say, how many of you, if you sent out a long distance package, please stand up. And hundreds of people stood up because they'd sent out the long distance package. If you brought your long distance package with you tonight, we've got this USPS, you know, box up front. Come on up. And literally hundreds of people would stand up and go across the stage, and the music is playing, and they're throwing their boxes in there. And every week, my wife and I would take that boxes because it overflowed. It was all over the place. But it was fun because we have it on stage and people are throwing them in there and it fills up and then it starts overflowing and now it's just like ridiculous and it's all over the stage. Imagine if that was all in your team. And how hard is that? You don't even have to buy the stuff, you know? I mean, it's amazing. So that's your long distance package. That's how you expand your business. Let me give you a real practical reason for doing this. Remember Katrina? Remember that? I knew a guy who built his entire business in Louisiana. And when Katrina hit, he lost everything. He was a six-figure money earner in Legal Shield, and he lost it all because everybody quit. They were homeless. They didn't have phones. They didn't have jobs. They didn't have anything. And he lost everything that he had built because he didn't employ this one technique of one long-distance package a week. Everybody got that? Same thing in Southern California. Southern California, a lot of those people when I was there, a lot of them, their teams were just in Southern California. And then there's these gigantic fires. Y'all seen that on the news? All those fires in SoCal, their businesses shut down because they shut down the freeways and nobody could get to the briefing. My income didn't miss a beat because I had people in all 50 states and the money just kept coming in. So you insulate yourself against geography, against disaster, against all of those things that might happen. Is that a pretty smart idea?
Yeah.
Pretty smart idea. Let's move forward. Attend your local weekly business briefing. For me, this is the heart and soul of what we do. You attend your briefing every single week. We're going to ask that you make a 52-week commitment. Now again, don't let this blow you out of the water. If you can't make a 52-week commitment, do you have to? No. We're just saying this is how we've created, you know, 100-plus million-dollar earners in the company. You know, this is how we've created hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of six-figure earners. So get as close to this as you can, but if you want to go there fast, you want to go there right, do it all. If you can do it all, 7 to 12 hours a week. But go to your briefing. One guy said to me, you still going to your meetings? You still going to meetings? And I said, yeah, you still going to that job? It's just so weird how people think. Aren't people weird? They're so weird. I love that song, People Are Strange. Is that what it is? Because that is the truth, man. You still going to your meetings? Of course I'm going to my wealth accumulation meetings? Are you still going to your job? You know, well, yeah, I'm still going to my job. Man, I can't believe you're still going to all the meetings. I can't believe you're still going to that job and you're going to go to that job until you're 65, retire for a little while, and realize that you don't have enough money and you're going to be welcoming people at Walmart. That surprises me. You know, now this is somebody I can bust his chops, right? Because he's busting my chops. It's like, what are you, like, I don't get it, you know? It's like, they're like, Chris, man, ever since you got in that business, you're too cool to play softball. I'm like, guys, I live in the ghetto. I'm almost 30. At some point in your life, you have to make a decision that I'm going to sacrifice to live a better life. And if it means missing some volleyball games and softball games and some bowling on the weekends, I'm in. Because I've been doing all that stuff and I've been impoverished for nearly a decade. You know what's crazy? Some of these guys didn't want to go on the ride with me. And you should see him today. One of them still, he's 40 years old. He still lives in an apartment with a bunch of other guys. And that's where he was living almost 15 years ago when I tried to introduce him to the business. This is a guy that's making fun of me and telling me this is not going to work, that I'm an idiot, that I've gotten too big for my britches because I don't hang out with the homies on the weekend. So you go to your briefing and you make a 52-week commitment. Look, here's the choice. Go to work 40, 50, 60 hours a week until you're 65 or 70 or 75. You know Social Security is not going to be there for you when you're done. So we might have to work till we croak, unless you have a plan B. Plan B is 7 to 12 hours a week, two a day, weekly meeting, long distance packages, simple stuff. How many of you like Plan B? Yeah. No? Am I it? Yeah? I mean, my gosh, Plan B, yeah, I'm going to do Plan B. My dad, I told you the story, worked in corporate America for 40 years, but guess what? He got introduced to Shackley in the 80s. Y'all heard of Shackley, right? Yeah. $1 billion network marketing company. We had Basic H in the laundry room. It was their soap product. I'll never forget it. We had all these products. I didn't even know what it was. I didn't know that they were in a network marketing company. I didn't know they could recruit people to recruit people and create leverage and make millions of dollars. I didn't know that. And then I get older and my dad loses his job and then I get into network marketing and I realize, oh my gosh, my dad started network marketing in the 80s and he worked until, you know, the late 90s in corporate America. From the 80s to the late 90s, he had almost 20 years to be building a network marketing business on the side. Can you imagine? Let me tell you how that story would have gone. Had he, and he didn't understand the industry, and so I get that. That's why this training is so important, because we don't want you to 20 years from today be out of work and have zero income and zero plan and complete devastation upon your whole family. My dad never got a training like this, so he wasn't able to really fully engage, become core, and build a huge net that brings in big fish, small fish, and everything in between. But here's how it would have gone. He'd have got started. He got an audio like this. He started doing tools and events, following the 10 core. And after 20 years, do you think he might have been making $80,000 a year? After 20 years? Maybe. But don't you think he'd be making something after 20 years? And when he lost his job, he'd at least have what? Something? Yeah. So it is absolutely, how did I even get on that? It's absolutely vital that you go to your weekly business briefing, give it a 52-week commitment. Anybody familiar with addiction recovery in here by show of hands? Anybody? In the AA meetings, there are people who are there every single week who have been sober for years. Would y'all agree with that? And in the AA meetings, there are also people that came there drunk and depressed. Would y'all agree with that? And in the AA meetings, there are also people at varying levels in between those two ends. Do you agree with that? Yeah. Now here's the question I have for you. Why does the drunk person come? Because he wants to be sober. She wants to be sober. But why, I mean, every drunk I would like to think would want to become sober. If you want to become sober, why would you want to go to this meeting particularly? Why that meeting? For support. Do you know how often they meet? Once a week. Isn't that interesting? You want to know why the guy or gal comes after 10, 15, 20, 40 years of sobriety? Two reasons. Number one, they don't want to go back to being drunk or stoned. Number two, they want to tell you that you can do it. They want to be a voice of reason. They want to be a light on a hill. They want to be an example for you to say, look, I know what it's like. I fought that battle. But look at me now, right? And it's the same with our business briefings. You go to the business briefing, are there people that have been sober financially for 10, 20 years? Yeah. Right? Are there people that show up drunk in poverty? Yes or no? Yeah. And are there people at every area in between? Yeah. Yes. Why does the broke person show up? Because they want to make money and they need support. Why does the wealthy person show up? Because they don't want to go back to poverty and they want to be a voice of reason and a light on the hill to say, you can do it. So you got to make a 52-week commitment. And here's what you'll find. You'll find maybe 10 of the people, you recruit 10 people, 9 of them on the business briefing night, they're fixing the screen door because it came off. They're taking the garbage out. They're repainting their baseboards. One guy told me, oh man, I'm cleaning my office. I hate to just leave in the middle of it. Here's one for your notes. People let little things cheat them from big opportunity. People let little things cheat them and keep them from big opportunity. All right, everybody with me so far? Yeah. Core commitment number 5 is to attend your basic training. Every new associate included in their investment is the basic training. How many of you have ever been to a party or an event where you knew no one? Anybody ever been there? And how did you feel? Awkward, like such. You could see an enemy in the back of the room and run right over there and say, Bob, what's up? How you doing, man? How you been? Just because you hate that awkward feeling of not knowing anybody, right? When you get started in Legal Shield, go to your basic training. As you start other people in Legal Shield, go to basic training with them. Does that make sense? So you can be with them so they don't feel awkward. You can introduce them around. And it's so important that you do that. You know, I heard a trainer once talking about get people over the line. There's this line, right? And all your new people are over here. And until they get across that line, they could quit at any moment. They could quit at any moment. So you want to get them across that line. And you got to get them across that line as fast as you can. And here's the thing. You don't know where the line is. You with me? You don't know where the line is. You just have to keep bringing them and bringing them and bringing them and bringing them and hoping that at some point you cross the line, but you never really know until they're successful in the business. So you're bringing people across the line. Here's some things that you can do to bring people across the line. Give them multiple exposures. You're bringing them across the line, right? Showing them our CD, our DVD, our website, right? You're introducing them, doing a three-way call. You introduce them to your upline. You introduce them to other people on your team. You're taking them to the basic training. Here's the leader. Here's the RM. Here's the RVP. These are some of the six-figure earners. Here's some of the millionaires. You see how I'm doing? See what I'm doing? You get them to go to the briefing. You get them to go to the Super Saturday. You get them to go to the convention. You're bringing them across the line. You're bringing them across the line. And one day they become an executive director and you know, okay, I got them across the line. But the basic training is where that starts. It's one of those major things that you can do to bring your new associates across that line. Number 6 is attend your Super Saturdays every month. I am so, for the first several years of my business, I was so, I had a heightened emotional experience. Have y'all ever had a heightened emotional experience? It was our first Super Saturday, I believe, or second. My brother's wife was having a baby. She's in the hospital. I stayed in the hospital all night long with my brother to welcome this baby into the world, right? Well, instead of going to the Super Saturday the next day, I went home and went to sleep because I was new. I wasn't core. I didn't get this stuff, right? My brother Jeff calls me up, who's my sponsor, and he says, Chris, where were you? Now, you don't ever talk to your team this way. Everybody gets it, right? But he's my brother, so he can talk to me this way. And I go, what do you mean? He goes, it's Super Saturday today. And he's hot, man. I mean, he's upset. And I go, yeah, well, Dave, Sherry, they had their baby last night. I was with them. You missed the Super Saturday. The baby, you know, the baby didn't happen during the Super Saturday. You could have gone from the hospital to the Super Saturday. I said, get on my back. You know, I didn't get in this business to have you bossing me around. You know, and then he's like, look, how bad do you want it, Chris? You've been impoverished for all these years. I know you want it. I want it. If we're going to do it, we got to do it right. You embarrassed me. The RVP was calling for our family, and none of them were there except for me and Cindy. And I was like, man, this is not going good. You know, this is not going good. And I just said, well, sorry. I was in the right place at the right time. I was justifying it. I could have gone to the Super Saturday. If I was core, would I have gone? Yeah, it'd have been fine. I love it. They're great. They're fun. They're exciting. They're upbeat. You get to learn a lot. It was brand new. I wanted to learn, you know, but I made an error in judgment. We're going to talk about errors in judgment on the backside. I made an error in judgment. You know what my brother said to me? Burn me forever. He said, Chris, right before he got off the phone, do not try to defend an indefensible position. Hung up on me. Oh, man, I'm like, go on, man. Oh, my gosh. And for years, I was like, that was such a mean thing for him to do. And he was wrong. You know, I was in the right place. You know what I mean? But his point was, the baby was already here. And you had a choice to be core or not core. And that's really was his point. And from that time forward to the time I was earning six figures plus, I never missed a Super Saturday. Because I'd always hear Jeff say, you cannot defend an indefensible position. You know? Oh, I love my brother Jeff. He is a character. We're at his house one night. He's a $1 million earner in the company because he's core. Everybody get it? Yeah. $1 million earner in the company. He used to sell ladies' shoes. Best year, less than 40 grand a year. Whole life, planet Earth. We're at his house hanging out. Jeff's just direct. He's so funny. We're laughing. We're having a good time. And someone, we just got done with a joke. And it was like, ah, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. You know, and you can't breathe and the tears are coming out. Oh, and it's all starting to settle down in the room, you know. And just when that last person stopped laughing, oh man. Jeff said, hey, where are y'all sleeping tonight? And we said, home. He goes, go there. That's Jeff. I love him for it. I'll never forget. I call him, and this is good training. I call him and I say, Jeff, I'm an executive. And back then, you know, you had to have three leaders doing a certain thing, and they weren't doing that certain thing. And so I'm complaining to Jeff, and I'm like, Jeff, they're not doing the thing, man. And this is what Jeff said. Stop letting those stupid people hold you hostage. Now, that's harsh, isn't it? Now, is he really calling those people stupid? No, he's not. He's just trying to make a point. He's like, look, you can whine and complain and leave your financial future in the hands of those three people who don't care about you nearly as much as you care about you. Or you can go out there, here's what he said, if you can't change your people, change your people. Isn't that good? Y'all get that? If you can't change your people, Chris, change your people. If you can't change the people that you got, Chris, change the people. Get new people. Everybody got that? Yeah. Here's another thing Jeff said. So good, so good. Call Jeff up. He's up here. I'm down here. Everybody got the structure? He's in my upline. I'm in his downline. I'm part of his business. He's not part of my business. Everybody got it? So I call him up and go, Jeff, I got a great idea. I have this idea, and you should send this email out to the whole team. Because Jeff's here, then there's Mike, David, and Chris Hughes. So we're all like this, and we're building our teams. But I don't have access to Mike and David's team's emails, right? I only have access to my team's emails. But Jeff's up here, and he has access to everybody's emails. So I got to get this great idea, and you should send this email. And he goes, that's a great idea, Chris. You should do that. No, Jeff, I don't have access. I'm saying you should do it for the whole team because you're upline and you have all these other people that I don't have, and we should all do it as a team. And he says, that's a great idea, Chris. You should do that. No, Jeff, you're not understanding what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I could do it, but you're upline and there's all these other people and we should do it as a team. Like, you should send an email out to everybody and you and Cindy kind of promote this and it'll be awesome. And he said, that's a great idea, Chris. You should do that. I'm like, what's the matter with you? What are you doing to me? Like, you trying to teach me something? Like, I don't get it. And this is what he said. I am the CEO of my own business that happens to include you. You are the CEO of your business that does not include me. Mind your own business. Now, you guys are probably thinking he's the biggest jerk in the world, but he's not, really. He is lovable and outgoing. I mean, but here's the thing. When Jeff has something that needs to be said, he says it, and he has served me so well. Because here's what happened. When he did that to me, I was so mad I want to box him in the face. But here's what I did. Well, I don't even know where that word, who says box these days, you know? Put a cap in it, you know what I mean? I mean, I was like so mad. And this is what I said to myself. You know what? I will mind my business. I'm going to build it bigger and faster than you. You know, nanny, nanny, you know, that's how I was. He made me so mad, and y'all know how family are, right? They're competitive, and he's my big brother. And I just went after it, and it served me so well. Because from that day moving forward, you know who Chris Hughes was? A CEO of a multi-million dollar enterprise. That's who I was then, and that's who I am today, and that's who I'll remain being. Is a CEO of a multi-million dollar enterprise. He served me in that day. But I say all that to say this, that he was a great coach for me to help me to become core. Because I know me, and if I didn't have this, and if I didn't have number 9, which is a workout partner, like my brother Jeff, like my brother Dave, and like some of my team members that I've utilized over the years, I wouldn't have made it. I was a guy that started stuff and never finished. Y'all know anybody like that? I was a starter. Man, idea guy. I got an idea all the time. I'll get it started. I have 45 unfinished books. Anybody got any of those in here? Not really 45, but you know what I mean. I got a lot of them. But because I had this, and because I had workout partners and the system and the infrastructure, it's been pretty good for the last 14 years. It's been pretty good. We're still going. Still going. Number 7, attend the international conventions. If we all owned a McDonald's, and you got a call from the CEO of McDonald's Inc., and they said, hey, we're doing a conference in the Rio Hotel, April 3rd through the 5th. We're flying in all the top earning McDonald's owners, and they're going to train you for 2 days. Would you be there? Yes. How much did you invest in that McDonald's? Million, $2 million? You would not miss a $300 weekend, $400 weekend, if you got $1 million online, would you? No. See, and one of the good things about our business, just a couple $100 to get started, you know, with your membership and everything. One of the bad things about our business, it's just a couple $100. Easy in. Number 7, attend the international conventions. If we all owned a McDonald's, and you got a call from the CEO of McDonald's Inc., and they said, hey, we're doing a conference in the Rio Hotel, we're flying in all the top earning McDonald's owners, and they're going to train you for 2 days. Would you be there? Yes. How much did you invest in that McDonald's? Million, $2 million? You would not miss a $300 weekend, $400 weekend, if you've got $1 million online, would you? No. See, and one of the good things about our business, just a couple $100 to get started, you know, with your membership and everything. One of the bad things about our business, it's just a couple $100. Easy in, what? Easy out. People, a lot of times people spend more than a couple $100 on a weekend they can't remember. How many have friends like that? Man, yesterday I was in Vegas and I have no clue how I got home, right? I mean, I know people like that. That's not me, by the way, but I know people like that, right? They spend a lot of money on a weekend they never remember. I kind of wish it was more expensive because it's skin in the game, right? The more skin you have in the game, the longer you're going to stick around when times aren't perfect. And so you want to attend the international convention. How many do you go to? There's one a year, but how many years do you go? At what point do you say, you know what, I got this. I'm not going to any more events. Never. Because you have a team, and what is your team doing to you? They're watching you, right? I missed one corporate convention in all my 14 years in the company, and it was an error in judgment. I had retired from the company to write a book and to create a seminar company. And I did that. And it was then and is an incredible experience. But I missed that one event because I was off doing these other things. And my team, it hurt my team. Because they thought I quit. They thought that they, apparently, whatever you're doing is more important. You know what I mean? Yeah. And this is what they think. And it may or may not have been more important. That's a moot point. The point is, monkey see, monkey do. Right? That's the point. Leaders are leaders because they're out front. Leaders are leaders because they're out front. So you want to attend these conventions. You want to go to all of them. And your teams have events during the summer or some point during the year. You want to go to those teams. I would say, I'm not going to say one is more important than the other, but the most impactful event that you'll go to in your career is the event with your team. Because instead of 10,000 people in a big coliseum, it might be 100 or 500 or 1,000 or 5,000 people. It's a much smaller group. When we do our events, you know, we're, you know, anywhere from 300 to 600 people at our team events. They're not huge. And you know what we do? We train for a few hours, and then we go hang out in the pool for hours. And we tell stories, and we take pictures and get acquainted. So much fun. So much fun. So make sure you go to that. Okay, everybody got it? Y'all good?
Yeah.
Okay, have I blown anybody out of the water yet? 7 to 12 hours a week. You can do it incredible well. One night a week, one Saturday a month. Super simple stuff. Personal development. I could do a 3-hour seminar on personal development. I won't. I'll just say this. The reason people are broke in their pocketbooks is because they're broke in their mind. The Bible has a great verse in it that says, "Be ye therefore transformed." Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So if you want to renew your life, you renew your mind. Life renewal begins with mind renewal. If things aren't pretty outside, it's because things aren't pretty inside. And I'm not talking about a temporary dip in the road. I'm talking about long term. So if you know people that have been on on welfare or on any kind of public assistance for a decade, right? If we need help, if you need help, you should ask for help, right? Isn't that what help is for? If you need help, we have help. But if you're habitually getting help, if you're habitually on the rolls and you're getting stuff for nothing, and you're not going to work, and you're not pulling yourself up by your bootstraps, and you're not becoming a resourceful person in society, that's problematic. The reason it's icky out here is because it's icky in here. So if you're in the dip in the road, don't worry about that. You're going to bounce back. But if you have long-term poverty like this guy did, long-term poverty or long-term bad relationships or long-term health, long-term spiritual ills, right? That's because of something going on up here. And personal development can change all that. See, I was taught these philosophies like, if you want something done right, you gotta do it yourself. That's bogus. How can you ever have freedom? The secret to success is hard work. I know people that pick cabbages 12 hours a day. That's hard work. And they don't have the lifestyle that they want. Money don't grow on trees. That's bananas. I get paid daily. Yes or no?
Yes.
It would take me way longer to grow a tree than it would to start a Legal Shield business, share the membership with somebody, and get a paycheck the next day. Money doth grow on trees. All right, y'all got it? That was my scripture quote right there. Money doth grow on trees. See, these are concepts that says life is hard, man. You're gonna have to work hard, break your back. You never see your kids, right? All this heavy. It's like, no. Tell that to Zuckerberg. You know? Yeah, is hard work a part of success? You better believe it. Is it the key to success? No. Let me tell you what the key to success is. The key to success is becoming more valuable. That is the key to success. I did a seminar in India. How many of y'all would like to make more money than you're currently earning? Yee, right? Just like y'all. How do you do that? Yeah, how do you do that? This is what, And then, you know, if there's 100 people in the room, 500 people in the room, 500 different answers. Really? We all want to get wealthy. We all want to change our lives, and we can't answer the question. How do you make more money? By providing more value. How do you provide more value when all you know how to do is mow yards, polish shoes, and wait tables? Answer, personal development. How do you become more valuable? You become more valuable by the books that you read and the audios that you listen to and the seminars that you go to. You know, you become more valuable in that way. Why? Why do I read all these books? Why do I listen to seminars? Why was I listening to the world's top marketer today? Why was I watching him on a video today? Because I want to become more valuable. I want to be able to affect more people at a deeper and more impactful level. And why? Why do you want to bring more value to the marketplace? Because income is attached to value added. Yes or no? Income is attached to value added. So if you're making a little income, it's because the value that you're bringing to the marketplace is little. If you're making big money, it's because the value that you're bringing to the marketplace is big. And if you're making massive, staggering, Steve Jobs, Michael Dell, right, Zuckerberg-type income, Oprah Winfrey-type income, it's because you found a way to bring what? Massive value to the marketplace. What do you do with a kid with long hair living in the ghetto? Life is busted and disgusted and he's got no skills. What do you do with somebody like that? You give them this, the 10 core commitments, and you say, look, every day you read 10 pages a day, and I'm telling you, you read the right books, it will change your life. And one of the first books I got was a book called Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And in the very first sentence, it says, thoughts are things. Oh my gosh, I was in high school for 6 years and I never heard it. I never heard it. Nobody ever told me that thoughts are things. And in other words, when you think a thought and you emotionalize it, you are creating the spiritual energy of that thing, and all spirit desires flesh. And that spiritual energy is going out in the universe looking to be embodied, because all spirit desires flesh. And I'm telling you, this may be a coarse example, but when you think a thought and you emotionalize it, you have created life. Sperm, egg, put them together, conception. You have created a bounce check. You're laying in bed, oh, bounce check, oh, you're feeling it, you're thinking it. That life is in the universe, and it is out there seeking to be embodied. It is out there looking for all the things that it needs to show up as a bounce check in your life, because you gave birth to that. You created that. And you lay in bed at night and say, oh, he's such a jerk, and I hate him, and nah. I mean, how many of you heard people say the men are pigs? Y'all ever heard anybody say that?
No.
Come on, raise your hands. Men are pigs, right? And some of them, what?
Are.
And some women are, right? Okay, let's be fair. So I know people say men are pigs, men are pigs. And you know what's funny? They're thinking that, they emotionalize that, and every pig in the planet shows up on her doorstep. And here's what I've learned. The universe is so kind and so loving that whatever you think is, is. Whatever you think is, and the universe will rearrange itself to show you that your perspective is correct. To show you that whatever you believe to be true is in fact true, even though it's not true for the rest of us on the planet. It's crazy. This is the stuff that I started to learn as I read these books. And this book says, cut your hair, man. So I cut my hair. Shave your face. I had some weird stuff happening, you know? I got rid of it. Never really grew in right. I looked weird. Shaggy comes to mind. The books change your life. Listen, read the good books. Thinking. Now, I'm not talking about, y'all know Fabio, those types of books where that lady's like, you know, she's hardly wearing anything. She's draped over Fabio. And my mom used to read that stuff, y'all. And she had a whole, like, you know, section in her bedroom of this stuff. And I'm like, I wonder, you know, there's all these, you know, women on the front. And so I'm like, you know, I'm a little kid and I'm curious. And I open it up and I'm like, oh, wow, that's interesting, you know. And I start reading it a little bit, and I'm like, oh my, you know, like, that's how babies get here. I don't know, you know? You know, and I'm flipping through it, and I'm just like, you know what? I put the book back, and I thought, my poor dad. You know, my poor dad's got to compete with that stuff. Man. All right. Here's the point. There's some great books out there that will add, they will become assets to you. And there's some other books out there that will become liabilities to you. Think and Grow Rich. As a Man Thinketh, You're Born Rich. Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Richest Man in Babylon. Did I say As a Man Thinketh? One of the most, oh my gosh, that book. Written 100 years ago. Anyway, so I start reading these books. Guess what? My life changed. Dramatically. Because I got the stuff out. You know what's going on in here? It's beautiful. You might debate what's happening out here, but what's happening in here? Beautiful, man. I'm telling you, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Personal development. Then listening. You want to read at least 10 pages of a good book. Are you allowed to do 11?
Yeah.
Keep it in mind. Keep it in mind. You're allowed, okay? We listen to 15 minutes of a good audio every single day. I used to, back in the day when I had CDs, now everything's digital for me, but I used to have a waterproof CD player, and I'd hang it in my shower. And I had motivational information in there. Jim Rohn, who's one of my favorite motivators of all time, he's an incredible storyteller. He's not with us anymore, passed away, but gosh, he's so talented. I recommend that you get everything that he has, all his books, all his audios. Incredible. Jim Rohn, R-O-H-N. Amazing. Anyway, so I get up in the morning, and I'm not a morning person. So I get up and kind of stagger into wherever I'm going, and first thing I did, I pushed play on the CD player, right? It starts playing. And I'm brushing my teeth, doing everything that I do. I jump in the shower. I'm showering. I shave in the shower. I'm shaving. I'm listening to Jim Rohn. I'm like halfway through the CD, I'm vibrating. I'm like literally so, I'm like, gosh, this guy's so good. And you got to find that voice that fires you up. Find the voice that fires you up. But so I just listen to it. And my wife would tease me. She'd say, honey, you sure take long showers. I'd say, honey, you have no idea what it's like to shower with Jim Rohn. You know? Like, you should try it. It is amazing. I mean, it's like, I don't want to get out until the CD's over, you know? But I get out, and I'm doing my hair, and I'm getting dressed, and I'm listening to this in the background. You do that every day of your life? Oh, my gosh. This guy I was listening to today makes $10 million a year from home. He's not in our business. He's an author. He writes books and does seminars and stuff. And you know how he started his video? He says, you know, I brought some stuff from my house today. It was on my desk, and I know you're going to think I have a messy desk, but this is what was on my desk. And the camera pans down to a little table like this. And the whole thing is full of audio programs that he's been listening to. And he's like, I got this one from this person, and this one, oh my gosh, is about relationships, and I got this one. And he goes through this whole thing, and it's like, no wonder the guy makes $10 million a year. He's still learning and devouring. Why is he doing that? So that he can become more valuable. Why does he want to become more valuable? So he can bring more value to the marketplace. Personal development. I'll tell you a great audio that I would listen to over and over and over is this one. I'm going to. Over and over and over and over and over again. Keep it fresh, keep it sharp, so I know how to build my business. All right, personal development. Everybody got that concept?
Yes.
You know, one thing that we don't hear much in the company, and I want to challenge you all to do it, is look for seminars to go to. How many of you have ever wondered, who am I going to talk to in Legal Shield? Who am I going to talk to? By show of hands? Okay, a lot of you have that question. Business seminars are great ways to improve your personal development, make you more valuable so you can bring more value, but they're also great places to meet people because these are other people at a heightened level of awareness. They're also high achievers. They're people that are interested in making their life better, right? So you go there, you meet them, you swap business cards, and now you have a prospect and a friend. Cool? So I want to challenge you all to go to these events. You know, I could get some of my team to go with me, and a lot of those people went right to the top. A lot of the team wouldn't go. I'd find a seminar and say, hey, Jim Rohn's coming to town. You want to go? Hey, Brian Tracy's coming to town. You want to go? Hey, Les Brown's coming to town. You want to go? And some would be like, who? No. How much is it? Uh-uh. And some would go, look, I don't have the money. I'll figure it out. I'm going to be there. It's $99. I'll go. Right? So interesting. My brother Mike was in the business. All my brothers went to the very top. Mike was lagging behind. And he came over to my house one day after being incredibly humbled in the company. Because all the rest of his brothers were earning a six-figure income or a multiple six-figure income, and he wasn't yet. And so he came over and he goes, Chris, can I talk to you? And I said, yeah. And he said, would you mind giving me some of your best books and CDs that you think would help me to become successful in Legal Shield? Normally, I do not loan out books and CDs. Why? Because they never come back. Right? Everybody knows that? But to my brother, I knew where he lived, and he was worth it. You know, he was worth it. He's my brother. So I gave him... It was almost like giving him my child. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, like this was so good and this one and you're going to learn this. And so I give it to him. And about 2 weeks later, week two, whatever it was, 3 weeks later, he calls me up and he says, dude. I said, what? Dude, what? Man, this whole time, I've been thinking you were a genius. And I go, what are you talking about? And he says, since like your first week in the business, you've been training. And I've been going to all your trainings. And every week I have like an inferiority complex. Because I'm like, where does this guy get this stuff? He's like, you got it all out of the books and tapes. And I go, hello? Come on. And at that time, he was a director, when executive director, bronze executive director, silver executive director. Because he began to take this seriously, personal development. It matters, y'all. It'll make all the difference in the world. Got it? Number 9, find a workout partner and utilize them. Find a workout partner. We already talked about that. I don't need to talk much more about it. Let me give you a visual, okay? You're at the gym. I don't like going to the gym because those guys make me insecure. You know, big, everything's big, you know, and they walk, you know, like this. And I always find it weird how people at the gym, especially these big guys, there's a mirror all the way down the gym, you know what I mean? And this is what they do. They do not break from that mirror the whole time. They're looking at themselves, you know, they're flexing their muscles, getting it to bounce around. And I always said things like, man, you're so vain. But then I went and looked in the mirror and I go, you know, if I look like you, I'd probably, you know. I get that. So, but think about this. You see the big guy with no neck and he's laying down on the bench and he's huge and he's got all these weights. What's standing right behind him? A workout partner, a spotter. Because here's what he knows. He wouldn't dare take on something like that alone. Because if he gets tired or something blows out, he has a bad day, he's not feeling healthy, that thing will cut him in two. And let me make you a promise. There will be a day in your business that if you don't have a workout partner standing behind you, you will be severed. And you'll find your way out the back door. And I don't want that to happen for you. So have a workout partner. You know, don't go after it in desperation. Oh, I got to find one or I'm going to get cut in half. You know, you don't have to do that. But just know you want to get them as soon as you can. Okay, as soon as you can. And that's what these events are for. People call me all the time and go, I can't find a workout partner. You live in Chicago, right? Yeah, there's, a couple hundred thousand people there? 10 million, I don't know what it is. But I'm like, do you have a briefing? Yeah, go to your briefing. There's a lot of people there. You know what I mean? Just say, hey, how you doing? If you resonate with somebody, swap cards, become friends. If it's working, if you guys are vibing, ask, pop the question. You know, would you like to be workout partners? You all right with that? Okay, yeah, you're not getting married. And you know what? And here's a good thing. Here's a little tip for you. Say, hey, would you like to be workout partners for 30 days? That way you're not in bed forever. You know what I mean? Got that? Seriously. Because what happens if you hate them? What happens if they're negative? What happens if you call them and go, hey, I just got my 2-a-day out. Did you get yours out? No, my dadgum dog ate our couch again. And we got all this fluff all over the place. I'm picking up all this, you know, padding out of the whole house. And my grandma's sick. And my bunions are acting up. My back's sore. There are people out there, yes or no? So you want to get out of that relationship super quick. So don't go to the courthouse. Just do a 30-day relationship. Okay, find a workout partner. Number 10 is be here a year from now. That's just so obvious. So obvious. How long does a good marriage take? How long does it take to raise a healthy, successful, productive child? How long does it take to build a business? Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not a year. Nobody said a year, right? That's the point. How long does it take to create something in this world that will be left behind when you go? How long does it take? You know what I'm doing right now for my kids? I'm reading all my favorite books in a studio, and I'm having them professionally edited for my children when I'm gone so that they can learn. They can read the same books that I read. They can listen to the same books that I listen to, but they get to listen to it in their father's voice when I'm gone. And my grandkids, and my great-grandkids, and my great-great-grandkids. How long does that take? It's going to take me more than a year. How long does it take to build a successful network marketing business? How long did it take me to go platinum? Years. How long did it take me to earn a six-figure income? Years. Do some go faster? Yeah, but that's not normal. Those are Martians. For the rest of us, for the rest of us human beings, it's going to take a few years or a decade. And is that too long? Lady says to me, well, I don't know if I can do this business. I'm 65. You know, how long did it take you to get to six figures? Well, it took me a few years. I don't know. I'm feeling my age. I said, let me ask you a question. If you do this business 5 years from today, how old will you be? 70. If you don't do this business 5 years from today, how old will you be? 70. So what do you want to do? Rock yourself to death, or you don't want to do something significant? She got it. She got it. Right? We're all going to be doing something. We might as well be creating something special. We might as well do something that's meaningful. Guys, and look, it's not about the money and it's not about platinum. I tell people Legal Shield is your pony. It is your horse. It is your vehicle. Think about this. What do you want? What's out there on the horizon? Let this be your vehicle to take you there. And it's not going to take you there in 30 days or in 6 months. A year, I tell people, don't you even look at the scoreboard for 12 months. Don't even look at it. Everybody understand that? Mm-hmm. Lock and load. Don't plant that Asian bamboo and start digging in the dirt the next day to see if it's growing. Don't do that. That is the 10 core commitments.
Now let's compartmentalize the 10 core commitments into what to do every day, what to do every week, what to do every month, and what to do every year. As a reminder, you can do all the 10 core commitments and do the business really, really good, starting only 7 to 12 hours a week. It's one night a week, one Saturday a month, and 2 weekends a year. And here's how it all breaks out. To be core, every day, all you have to do is 2 exposures per day. You read 10 pages a day of a good book and listen to 15 minutes a day of a positive or motivational educational audio. And that's it. If you do these things every day, you've had a successful day. You're on your way. Now, each week, you attend your business briefing and training. You plug into the Monday morning corporate leadership call and your team conference call, and you send out your long distance package. That's what a successful week looks like. Monthly, that's all that's required, is to attend your Super Saturday. And annually, you just attend the corporate convention and your team conventions and breakouts, and that's it. That's how you fit the 10 core commitments into your life. One night a week, that's your business briefing and training. One Saturday per month, that's your Super Saturday. And two weekends a year, that's the corporate convention and your team convention. The rest of it is done in those handful of hours per week. We don't want you to have to rearrange your entire world and your entire existence to do Legal Shield. We know that Legal Shield will fit in the nooks and crannies of your life. And we know that as you begin to implement Legal Shield into those little spaces of free time that you have in your calendar and in your life, that you can begin to build something very significant with Legal Shield. As we round third to complete this audio, I want to give you a vision for the possibilities of this business and frame it in a way that'll make it believable and achievable for you in your mind first, so that it can happen in reality soon thereafter. Do you think if you gave this business 7 to 12 hours a week, every week for the next 52 weeks, do you think you could find 5 people who could become core? Now, keep in mind that not everybody you recruit will become core, but some will. So I ask you again, do you think you could find 5 in the next year? I think we can all agree that if you were serious in those 7 to 12 hours per week, doing your 2 exposures a day and doing your best to bring a guest to the business briefing every week, you could find 5 core people in a year, right? And if you could find 5 in your first year, wouldn't you agree that they could probably find 5 in their first year? And if so, wouldn't you agree that those 5 could find their 5 in their first year? And within 5 years, you could have thousands of people on your team. You get your 5 in your first year. Those 5 get their 5 in their first year, which is 25 more. Those 25 get their 5, which is 125. 125 go out and get their 5 in their first year. That's 625 new associates in that year. And if those 625 found their 5 in their first year, that would be 3,125 new people in your business in your 5th year. Do you think you could pay your bills and even create wealth if you had 3,000 people helping you? Now, I think all those numbers are incredibly conservative, but let's make it even more conservative and even more believable for you. Let's say that 90% of those 3,000 people do absolutely nothing. 90%. And let's say the remaining 10%, which would be 300 people, only enrolled 1 member per month. That's it. They're not allowed to do 2. Let's say they just do 1 member per month. That would be 300 memberships on your team in 1 month, which would easily qualify you for the executive director position. As an executive director, you pick up a $49 bonus on each of those 300 memberships, which if you do the math, is $14,700 a month. That's $176,000 a year based on the $39 membership. That's $176,000 a year if 90% did nothing and the remaining did only 1 membership a month. $176,000 a year. Now, the first time I saw this math, it blew me away. It got me super excited and I ate it up. Hook, line, and sinker. And I went after it. And guess what? By my 5th year in the business, I'd reached about $170,000 in annual income. It happened for me. And I believe that it can happen for you too. Now, this is obviously for illustration purposes only, and we can't make any guarantees of income or business growth. But the fact is, so many other people, including myself, have grown their businesses at the same or even better. And if they can do it, why not you?